The National Football League draft happened last weekend, but it looked different than in years before. It was all by video. The league says that three-day event had an average audience of 15.6 million. That shatters the old draft record set in 2014. And while this draft itself was unique, it's also not like it was up against the stiffest sports competition. COVID-19 concerns have essentially wiped out all other sporting events for the foreseeable future. But there was also the unknown, like how a virtual draft would actually work with Commissioner Roger Goodell announcing picks from his basement.
Welcome to the 2020 NFL Draft, and thank you for taking the time to be with us. Like millions of fans, team personnel, and prospects, I join you from my home for the first virtual NFL Draft. This is different for us, and it's different for you, because it has to be.
Different is one word for it. Meanwhile, the league is reportedly mulling how it could still play a full season this year. And other sports are wrestling with the same question, including the possibility of holding games with no fans in attendance. Jason Gay is a sports columnist for The Wall Street Journal and a UW-Madison alum. Jason, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Listen, I got nothing better to do. There are no sports. I got plenty of time over here.
I mean, you touched on it, right? How hard is it to write a sports column when you don't really have any sports going on?
You know, I'm being slightly facetious because I think in some respect this is one of the most exciting, strangely dynamic periods in the history of sports. I mean, when you think about it, everything has stopped. Every league, every level, you have a complete shutdown. And then you have, as you mentioned at the top, this whole reconsideration of how you can come back, when you can come back, what your games will look like when you come back. The amount of energy that's being put into re-envisioning these games is going to reshape sports for quite a long time, I think. So though there aren't the kinds of things that we're accustomed to, scores and fantasy teams and all that kind of stuff, there's a heck of a lot happening right now.
Well, we just talked about the NFL draft. What are your takeaways from that virtual event?
You know, I have to say, I'm, you know, not a big fan of the NFL draft. I find it kind of like, you know, overly stagey and corporate and shiny and ridiculous. I think that's exactly the point, and it's quite a popular thing. I don't mean to sound like I'm, you know, the prevailing opinion here. I found this version of it by far the best. I just found the folksy aspects of it, the fact that Roger Goodell, as you said, I mean, literally in his basement, not a joke, in his basement, the players at their homes with very, very small groups of loved ones, Bill Belichick's dog riding shotgun during the later rounds in the draft. I just found those kinds of personal touches very much antithetical to the way that the NFL is very corporate and slick sometimes. And I just found it great. I mean, it was some of the best press the NFL has gotten as an organization in quite a long time. So I think a lot of people agree with us. And listen, those numbers are spectacular. As you mentioned, these were all-time audiences for it. Because, look, sports fans, they're desperate for anything at this point.
Yeah, I mean, do we then consider this a live sporting event again? Did that qualify?
Listen, I mean, considering people are betting on marble races right now, I think we can consider the draft a live sporting event. Sure. The definitions are getting blurrier by the minute.
I have to tell you, I missed out on the marble races until producer Bill Martins mentioned it to me today. I was like, they aired marble. ESPN aired marble races. So I did miss out on that. But I did catch wind of the fact that the NBA decided to run a game of horse competition.
Yes.
What do you want to say here?
It was about as exciting as you'd imagine a game of horse would be. You know, you've played horse, I'm sure, once in a while with a friend or a family member. It's a nice way to pass 20 minutes. It's not terribly compelling television, even if you have superstar players, which they did have. You know, they're looking for everything at this point. If you or I were to come up with some sort of gimmick, we want to race eggs on Zoom, I think they would find a way to buy it.
You know, it strikes me, though, that so much of there is certainly an element of sports that is competition, that is the talent. But so much of sports is personality, is storylines. And right now, even though they're not playing, I mean, major athletes have the opportunity to tell stories, to kind of pull the curtain back so we can see what real life is like for them now. Is there an opportunity here?
I think that's an excellent point. I think, you know, all the time of like, what would this have been like a couple generations ago where you didn't have the kind of technological access, the immediacy that you have today? And the fact that athletes can reach out, whether it's, you know, through video, social media outlets, their own Zoom calls and interviews and things like that. I watched today Chrissy Evert and Martina Navratilova interviewing each other. Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer did the same earlier in the week. It's pretty fascinating stuff, and it is showing a personality and a humanity of athletes that we may not have seen in the past. And then on the other side of it, you have this whole – the biggest sporting event probably the last couple of weeks is this running documentary of Michael Jordan that ESPN is running over 10 parts over the next few weeks. I mean, these are events that happened more than 20 years ago, and yet – it's sort of opening up a portal into the things that we love and we miss about the games. And I think it's what's getting people, you know, through these weeks.
Jason Gay is a sports columnist with The Wall Street Journal, and we welcome you to this conversation. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tell us, how are you getting by without live sports? Are you watching classic games on TV, or have you caught any sort of a substitute sporting event like that NBA horse competition or virtual NASCAR? Maybe you were wrapped by the marble racing. Tell us about it. 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Jason, you wrote a column about the White House's panel that is made up of heads of the major sports leagues. Here's what President Trump had to say when unveiling that group earlier this month.
But we have to get our sports back. I'm tired of watching baseball games that are 14 years old.
Oof. What exactly is the mission of this panel?
Listen, I think that there's no question in this country, and we can talk about whether or not it's a good or a bad thing, but that sports are kind of representative of, you know, culture, right? And that sports mean something to people. And the fact that games are being played is going to be enormously meaningful in terms of saying something about our recovery from this situation. The question, though, is when will sports resemble the thing that we loved about them? I think we're a long way off still from the idea of a packed Lambeau Field, a packed Camp Randall. We are quite a ways away from that kind of environment. And I wonder if we'll ever get back there. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful of it. But these ideas that are sort of placeholders, like no fans and biodomes and quarantined hotels and things like that, I mean, these are strictly placeholders because these leagues and colleges and even high schools are in the business of seeking revenue, and they need to try to figure out some way to figure out something in the meantime.
There is the revenue aspect of it, but from a fan's perspective, there is the experience. And so when you say, I don't know when, if ever, we'll really get back to a packed Lambeau, I think you raise some eyebrows there.
Well, listen, everybody wants to go to Lambeau. I mean, it's one of the great, great experiences in all of sports, right? From an experience, just from just being there. I just do think there is a question now. Will we see sort of large scale crowds in mass sporting events for quite a while? I mean, this is not something I'm just breaking out here. Every sort of public health expert has talked about this, that, you know, we are a little bit a ways off, or more than a little bit of ways off from a 50, 60, 80,000 seat arena being filled with people sitting shoulder to shoulder. When you think about those kinds of experiences, the things that we loved about them, they kind of run counter to what's prevailing common sense right now.
Right. Because part of the fun is celebrating with the people around you, or even experiencing the loss and being able to talk a little bit of smack about the other team with the people who are wearing the same color jersey you are. Like, that's part of the
100%. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we would get back there at some point. But we do have a circumstance where, you know, in the interim, we're going to have this very strange scenario where games may be played without fans. And one thing I wonder about that is the novelty of that going to wear off rather quickly? It'll be cool to see our favorite players and teams out there playing again and playing games that have consequences. But I think we might be underestimating the atmospheric value of a live audience. Even if you're sitting at home watching a game on TV, those fans that are in that stadium, in that arena, give you something back. I really do believe that there's a charge to a live crowd audience around anything. And so I think having that kind of situation where there are no fans in the audience will be deeply strange.
And you can join this conversation with Jason Gay, who's a sports columnist with The Wall Street Journal, at 800-642-1234. We are wondering how you're getting by without sports. Maybe you're watching some old footage or finding new things to focus on that aren't the traditional sports that you've always watched. You're welcome to call us at 800-642-1234, where there's a line for you, or you can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Jason, you talked about not having fans. I mean, Major League Baseball is reportedly considering starting its season in late June, playing 100 regular season games. You wouldn't have the same kind of leagues. Teams would play in their home stadiums, but in front of no fans. Do you think that can work?
I, you know, I don't know. That is the most honest answer I can give you. I think everybody is committed to coming up with creative ideas to lower risks, to make it feasible to play some version of a schedule. 100 games sounds incredibly ambitious. Playing in home stadiums right now as we sit here in late April feels ambitious still. But what you talked about is sort of this regional breakdown now. You can put the East Coast teams just squarely playing on the East Coast, Midwest squarely playing in the Midwest, West Coast, and you sort of rearrange the division. It's pretty cool looking. I admire the fact that leagues are kind of shaking up the box and trying to do different things. And I think there's an opportunity for creativity here. But that is also, you know, just a proposal at this point, just as it was a couple of weeks ago when baseball was talking about, well, we'll play all the games in Arizona in a couple of stadiums and we'll quarantine all the players. So we're a ways off from seeing players on the field, I think.
All right. Well, we'll continue talking with Jason Gay here about what it's like for sports fans right now as we are navigating new territory and COVID-19 has put almost all sports on hold. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. Help us understand how you're getting by. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Keeley Boltina, and we're talking about living without sports. COVID-19 has put pretty much all sporting events on hold for now. The leagues are figuring out how to salvage their seasons, even the possibility of holding games without fans. And there is still a line for you at 800-642-1234 as we talk with our guest, Jason Gay, a sports columnist with The Wall Street Journal. And Jesse from Appleton wants to join this conversation. Hi, Jesse.
Hi. Your guest had kind of touched on the idea that we're seeing the humanitarian side of athletes. And I just wanted to comment, I am not a sports fan, so my life has not changed very dramatically here. But I have a four-year-old that loves any sport, anything that he can do active. I mean, he's just on the go. And we've been watching Harlem Globetrotters on Go Noodle. We watched some of their videos where they do, like, training exercises with the kids. And I think it's really great that this is a way for athletes to really show their loyalty and, you know, give to the next generation, where we know that kids need to be active and we know that, you know, parents are finding different ways to fill in that physical education, you know, criteria for school. So the fact that athletes are taking their time to really fill in that gap is pretty awesome.
Jesse, thank you so much for sharing that perspective. Jason, you know, Jesse and her kid finding some inspiration here in athletes connecting with fans, not just playing on the field.
Absolutely. And she raises another parallel point here, which I think is important, is that we all need to be active right now. You know, we're talking about sports and stadiums and big events and things like that. But all of us, in terms of just, you know, keeping our fitness and keeping our, you know, brains humming along, I think it's important to be active. And whether it's doing jumping jacks and burpees in your living room or running around the house or just doing anything just to get a little bit of fresh air and get your blood going a little bit is really important. So if people are finding inspiration from those kind of training tools that I've seen a number of athletes putting out there, I think that's excellent.
But burpees in your living room.
I should say a burpee, one
okay.
burpee. And I probably didn't put my knees. Yeah.
I appreciate it. Dave from Milwaukee also wants to talk with us. Hi, Dave.
I love that burpees are still a thing. Makes me feel young. Dom, or not quite so old. Hey, I was just saying that the playing without fans has been used in Europe for soccer, for football in Europe. Forever, for as punishments to, you know, maybe poor, you know, fighting of the fans or, you know, racist stuff of the fans. So it's a monetary thing. But as a person watching those games on TV, that itself is a weird experience because you suddenly hear all the echo. You know, as a coach, I would tell people, my players, there's a lot of talking that's going on in the field that you have no idea about until you go and play a little bit, and now suddenly you can hear it because you can hear the echoes of these dead, empty stands. I was saying to your screener that I don't see how they have sports and quarantine the players so they're not going home to their families, but I'd love to see them figure it out because I miss sports, I got to say.
All right, Dave. Thanks so much, Dave. Mrs. Sports. And yeah, that idea of a punishment in kind of other avenues being applied just for public safety here, you know, I don't know how that sits right now. What do you think, Jason?
Well, I think what he's saying is that, you know, in European soccer, there have been incidents in the past where they have, you know, inflicted some sort of punishment on a franchise by making them play a game mm-hmm. without fans. And sometimes that's been a public safety concern as well. So that experiment has happened. And what he was saying, and I think is the smart takeaway, is that, you know, you do hear things. You do hear chatter among the players and coaches and things that you're not accustomed to hearing, certainly when there are 20,000 screaming fans in there. I'd be very curious to hear if they actually mic it up so you can hear everything. And I do mean everything. And I mean, you might need earmuffs on your children because, you know, some of these professional athletic games can get pretty spicy verbally. But, you know, it will bring a new dynamic to it. And I'm sure that the people in virtually every league are committed to trying to find some sort of, you know, value add, some sort of creative approach to these things that is going to maybe not substitute for the fan energy, but at least make you want to watch a little more of it.
Sure, because it's a matter of retaining the fans and keeping the interest and also having something for players, for participants to do right now.
I mean, what's going to happen at Camp Randall if they play a football game with no fans and the fourth quarter rolls around, they have to do jump around? What is that? What is that going to be all about? Is it just the players bobbing up and down the bench? I know they do that already, but it's going to be a very surreal experience to watch this kind of thing if it shakes out this way.
Thank you for that parting image. We very much appreciate it, Jason. Thanks for joining us today.
Bye-bye.
Jason Gay is a sports columnist with the Wall Street Journal and, if you didn't realize it, a UW-Madison alum. And we've been talking with him about how we're getting by without sports and when and in what form they might return to us.